message the Lord gave me and put on my heart to preach to you all for this morning is entitled The Gap. A while back, a few months ago, many of you probably read in the news that there was a bridge. It was the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It collapsed because a ship went under it and it was too tall and it hit that bridge, and that bridge was taken out. There have been in the history, just around the world, but here in the United States, a number of bridges that have collapsed or been destroyed. And when that happened, there were lives that were lost. At the tragedy that took place at the Francis Scott Key Bridge, there were six construction workers that lost their lives in that one. In 2007, there was at the Mississippi River Bridge in Minnesota somewhere, it's I-35 West. There was a bridge, it was icy out, there was a bridge that collapsed, and there were 111 vehicles, and I forget the cause of it, there were 111 vehicles that dropped up to 115 feet when that bridge collapsed, and there were 145 people injured in that accident, 13 lost their lives. There have been tragedies that have taken place when bridges have collapsed. There was a ice storm, and there was a bridge a number of years ago that it was nighttime, and the bridge had collapsed, and a man got stopped, and he saw cars were just going off onto the bridge and just going off, and he tried to stop. He was trying to stop people until finally got someone stopped, and they pulled their car over to completely stop traffic. But can you imagine nighttime, people not seeing it, and you knew that there was a ravine, there was a gap, there was a ravine there, there was something there, the bridge was out, and cars just kept going over it, going to their death. Well, bridges are very important this morning. Bridges are designed to bridge a gap. It enables us to get places we would not be able to go. I don't remember the name of it. Many of you have probably been to Louisiana. And there's a bridge that goes across over to New Orleans. And it's miles long. I don't remember how many miles it is. But it's a long bridge. And you go for long distances across the water. It was made to enable people to get somewhere where they wouldn't be able to get otherwise. Or get there more quickly. To get over canyons, bridges have been made over canyons. Bridges have been put over rivers. Bridges have been put over places that were very difficult to travel across to enable, for the ease of travel. So they serve a very common, common purpose this morning, and that is to be able to bridge, to be able to cover a gap where it might be in life, to span the gap. To span the divide. I wonder this morning if anybody has any gaps in your life. I'd like to share an illustration, and it is used for our encouragement this morning, but this is also something you can put in your tool chest as we follow the commission that we heard in Sunday school this morning. What are we supposed to tell people that don't know the Lord? What are we supposed to tell people that have lost their hope and it seems like there's no way for me to get from where I am to where I need to be? And it looks like it's impossible. That is what sin has done. Sin has separated mankind from God. Sin is a gap. Remember Adam and Eve in the garden? Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked with God. Adam and Eve walked with God. They were one with God. But when they committed sin, it put distance between them and God. There was a divide between mankind and God. Sin is what breaks a gap. Sin is what puts a divide between people and God. It is God's will this morning for people to have hope. It is God's will this morning for people to have eternal life. It is God's will this morning that people be at peace in their spirit. But the reality is that not everybody's at peace. The reality is that not everybody has hope. And the reason is because sin puts a divide between mankind and God. And when people are struggling to find something to satisfy, people turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to the lust of the flesh in trying to find something to satisfy. Oftentimes, they don't know how to put it in words, but it's something inside, an inner longing for something more. But those things never satisfy. They never bring soul peace. Is there a little bit of fun in that? A little bit, but the end result of that is heartache. Even aside from God, a lot of the things of the flesh, they destroy the body, they destroy emotions, they destroy relationships, and yet the devil acts like this is really what life is about. The answer this morning is found in Jesus Christ. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. In Romans, in the third chapter, in the 23rd verse, Romans 3:23, the scripture says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know what it means to come short of? It means you're not able to reach it. I have not been able to reach the glory of God. I've come short of it. There's a gap. There's a span there that I can't cross over, and I'm a sinner, and I can't quite get there. And I have tried. People try to span the gap this morning. People try to span the gap with good works. If I can just be good enough, or if I can put more in the offering, or if I can do something, maybe I'll go help someone a little bit more, or I'll go, and they by their good works try to span the gap. Folks, there is only one way that will span the gap this morning, and that is through Jesus Christ. Our good works will not span the gap, but all of us have been sinners. Is there anyone here that can say you've never transgressed the law of God? Anyone that can say I've never sinned? That sin puts a divide between us and God. It means there's a gap, there's a place I can't reach. It means I'm not connected with. I wonder if there's any areas in life that we wish we could be more connected. Wish I could connect. We need a bridge. Bridges connect. But it is sin that has caused us to not be able to quite reach God. And then Romans 6 in the 23rd verse. Romans 6:23. It says, "For the wages of sin is what?" The wages of sin is death. The consequence, the result of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is this morning a great gulf between mankind and God without Jesus Christ. And so the common illustration, and this is often used in evangelism, in a way to reach sinners, to communicate with them, and I'm not going to put up a fancy drawing here, I'm going to be really simple with it. But here's man over here. Let's see. I'll put some legs on him. Don't judge me by my work. And then here's God over here. And this is hope. And this is life. And this is peace. And over here we have sin. And we have heartache. And we have strife. And it's like, how can man get over here to have hope and eternal life and peace? There's a gap. This is what sin is what causes this gap. It's sin in men's lives that causes that gap from God. They're not one with God anymore. Sin separates people from God. When we are tempted to do sin, young people and children and all of us, when you are tempted to sin, I want you to remember something. There's a consequence of sin. Sin will separate you from God. There will be a gap there that you cannot bridge in and of your own self. And so there's a great gulf between mankind and God because of sin. But I'm so thankful that there is a remedy this morning. There is a remedy to the gap this morning. There is a remedy when people say, I just don't know what to do. I'm over here and I'm on the edge of this cliff and there's no way to get over here to have peace anymore in my life. All of the things I've done that are bad or all of the troubles that I face in life, there's no way I can get over and it looks hopeless. Do you know in the flesh that's a hopeless situation? There is no way to get over to where God is. It looks hopeless. Folks, life without God is hopeless. Life without God is despair. Life without God is trouble. But understand, thank the Lord, that there is a remedy this morning in the Romans in the 5th chapter. Romans chapter 5 in the 8th verse. It says, but God commendeth his love toward us. And while we read that, I'm just going to put Romans down here. What did I say? Romans 5, 8? Did I get that right? Yes. 8 through 10. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet what? While we were yet sinners. While we were over there in sin. God, it says, he commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where there was a gap, where I could not connect with God, where I could not find true peace, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. We will be saved from eternal destruction. We will be saved from eternal death through his blood. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And so Jesus Christ came. And he died on the cross. And again, excuse my, let's do that a little bit better. Get the point. Jesus died on the cross, that through his death we could be reconciled or brought into unity with God. We say, how do I talk to, what do I share with people? It seems like there's no hope and there's no peace and there's no way in their life to bridge the gap. The answer was in the cross of Jesus Christ. He came to do for us what we could not do in our own strength. He came to do for us what we cannot do. And he bridged the gap that mankind that was in sin and destruction and heartache and hopeless could come over and be reconciled to God and have eternal life and peace and hope of something better. That was the death of Jesus Christ. That was the remedy. And so then our response, how do I get from here over to here? I believe in Jesus Christ. I must believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by who? But by me. There's no way to get over to God without Jesus Christ. There are many religions. There you can have all these different ideologies and philosophies of good works, all of the different religions of our world. But folks, there's only one avenue to God this morning. We live in a time people are looking to themselves. They're looking to the flesh. They're looking to churches. They're looking to organizations of men. And now paganism is rising in our world. We are looking within ourselves to an inner strength within myself to connect with God. There's still going to be a gap. Because the only avenue to God, it's not through a power from within. It is not from that light that is within all of us. It is not from Mother Earth. It is not from all of these other philosophies. It is through Jesus Christ. And so we must believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. We must confess our sin. I am separated from God. And what caused the separation? My sin. And so I openly and freely confess and acknowledge my sin. And I repent of my sin. I turn away from it. And through the power of the blood of Jesus, we go by way of the cross. We are reconciled to God. This is the hope that exists in our world today. It is through Jesus Christ that there is a remedy. When life looks bleak, and it does without Jesus Christ, there's no other bridge to span that gap except the cross of Jesus Christ. But that is what we have to offer to the world. That is a message that all of you can take to those that find themselves and they say, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. There's a gap. There's a span that I cannot cross. The divide is too wide and it's too long and it's too deep. I've gone too far from God. Folks, the cross will span any divide this morning. There is no sin too great. There is no gulf too wide or too deep. But the cross of Jesus Christ can span the gap to reconcile us to God when we humble our heart and accept Him into our life. So for those that we love this morning that we're praying for that are away from God, and we say, I just don't know how this, I don't know that there's any hope. I don't want to limit the power of the cross. I don't want to limit the power of the blood of Jesus. We can look at people and say, there is no way. Oh, yes, there is a way this morning. And when we pray, my prayers don't save anybody. But my prayers can go to God. And He's moved with our prayers. And we say, Lord. When we say, Lord, would you save them? The Lord's not willing that any should perish this morning. The Lord wants to save everybody. But what our prayers are, Lord, would you reveal to them an avenue? Would you reveal to them that there is a bridge? Would you reveal to them and help their hearts to be softened? That they would have a heart open to the things of God, but the avenue is the cross. Oh, I know the preaching of the cross is foolishness to our world, but to those that believe it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't want to ever stop preaching the cross. I don't want to ever stop preaching the blood. I know just speaking personally this morning, all of the songs that we sing that in our book, in the special songs, the ones that get me, I guess, excited, and that's not just an emotional thing. But down something starts burning when we start singing about the blood. Because we're only saved by the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood this morning. There's power in the blood to wash the vilest sinner clean. It's through the power of the blood that I have hope of eternal life this morning. It's not because of what we have done and what we sacrificed and that we did a little bit more. The power, the hope that we have of eternal life is because of the blood of Jesus has been applied. That's our hope and that's our victory and that's our peace this morning. Thank the Lord. And so over in the book of Hebrews, in the 7th chapter, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says, wherefore he is able, Jesus is able, to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know, this is what Jesus is doing this morning. He is living to make intercession for the person that is separated from God. He's making intercession. You know what intercession is? If my wife and sister Tammy, if there's a problem and there's a falling out, and I go and I say, Renee, now what's the situation? She tells me, and I go, Sister Tammy, you know, this is what it meant, and I try to bridge the gap. You see, there's a gap in communication, and so someone that's intercessing is one not going stirring up strife. Well, do you know what they said? Oh, folks, be careful, don't do that. Do you know what they said about you? Why would you go tell someone that? They said this about you. Why would you give someone a battle to fight like that? But a true intercessor is one that would go and say, you know, I think maybe she said she didn't mean it the way that came across. And then I could sit here and say, oh, you know, I want things to be good. And I go back and say, Renee, you know what? She wants things to be good. And that intercessor is one that's positively bridging a gap. That's what Jesus is doing for people today. He is an intercessor. His desire and his purpose is to bridge the gap for us. And he is able to save people to... Do you notice this word? This is powerful. It says to the uttermost. There are so many people this morning that are preaching that we still live in sin. I don't know what they do with this scripture. I don't know what they do with that scripture, but all I can testify this morning is that I have found the power of God saves to the uttermost. Those that are bound by sin, the power of the blood of Jesus will transform their life, that they are radically changed and delivered to the uttermost. Nothing left. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to be an advocate. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 1. Now, the scripture, and this is a little side note, and I'm not even going to turn and read it all. But in the first chapter of John, he said, "If any man sin, say he hath not sinned, he is a liar." That passage of scripture has been misinterpreted and misused many, many times. John was writing to people. Many of them denied the power of Jesus Christ. They didn't accept Christ as the Son of God. And if I say I don't have any sin, I don't need a Savior. John was not speaking as in a position of if you are saved from your sin and you are saved and now you say, oh, you say you have no sin. No, you're a liar because everybody's a sinner. No, that's taking something out of context. Jesus delivers us from the power of sin. When he said, if a man say he hath no sin, he's a liar, because we just read that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It takes Christ to bridge the gap. So if you say you have no sin, you're a liar. That's what John was talking about. And we know the context of that more fully when we get into the second chapter of 1 John. He said here, my little children, these things I write unto you. Now, he's being really clear. I'm telling you why I'm writing this. That you sin not. The reason I'm writing to you is that you not sin. Just like Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. Go and what? Sin no more. How is that possible? It's possible because of the power of the blood of Jesus. He spanned the gap. And he was able with confidence to tell them, go and don't do it anymore. There is power that people can go and not sin anymore. So my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, he said, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There is a divine work for those that have sinned and find themselves separated from God. We have an advocate this morning. The enemy would like everyone to think that God is there with his sword raised. Just any little mistake you make, he's going to cut you off. No, the time of judgment is coming. But this is a time of restoration. This is a time that there is an advocate that when you stumble, the Lord is Jesus is taking your case to the Father. And he's saying, Father, let's reach out to him. Let's not leave him stumble. Let's reach out our hand. And he bridges the gap for us. We have an advocate, someone to take our case. There's someone that will take the case of those that are in sin this morning. That's why Jesus came, to be an advocate. So I'd like us to turn direction for just a few minutes. There is a gap that sin creates. But consider Job in the 9th chapter. There are other gaps that take place in our life. Have you ever felt separated from God? And it wasn't sin. You're saved, you love the Lord, and yet you just felt like there was a gap. I want to encourage you to know that there is an advocate this morning that wants to bridge your gaps. Job felt very desolate, did he not, in his affliction? He said over in the 9th chapter of Job in the 32nd verse, he was talking about God, and he said, but he's not a man like I am, that I would answer him and we could just come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman. You know what a daysman is? Daysman's a mediator. That's what a daysman is. A daysman is like an attorney that takes your case. I'm going to take your case. There's nobody. Job was in desperation. It's like God's not a man that I could just go and sit down with him and we could commune and talk about this. He said, I wish there was a daysman betwixt us that could lay his hand upon us both. Job was saying, I wish that there was someone that could lay his hand on me and put his hand on God and bridge the gap that I'm filling right now. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then I would speak and not fear him, but it's not so with me. He felt disconnected. Now I want to talk to we talked about sin a little bit. I want to talk to those that love the Lord this morning. There was a night, the first of the week or the end of last week, that we were in a real battle. We were up, and I was praying for Vanessa, and I didn't have any other words to say. And I began to pray, and I said, Jesus, would you bridge the gap here? I'd gone as far as I can go. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can say. And I was feeling desperate. And I was comforted to know that Jesus came to bridge the gaps for us. Lord, I don't know what to do. And there's this need here that seems so big. And if I could just reach out, if I could just get hold of God. And you know, that's the daysman that Job did not have access to. It was Jesus Christ. That he came, Jesus came to place his hand on your life and place his hand over with the Father and bridge the gap. When you start feeling disconnected, when you start not knowing what to do, you feel desperate and you feel hopeless. Jesus Christ came to bridge gaps that are in our lives, even as saved people this morning. Emotional gaps, financial gaps, physical gaps, those areas of hurt, those areas of pain. We say, what's the answer? It's in Jesus. And this is the power of Christ this morning. When he was born, he came down from heaven, and the scripture says he was made lower than the angels. In other words, he took on the form of flesh. And to experience our pain, to experience our emotions, to experience the difficulties of this life, and yet, so he was 100% man, and yet he was 100% God. He was 100% divine, and that, I know we refer to it every once in a while, that's what's called the hypostatic union. How can it be that someone is 100% divine and 100% flesh? I don't know, but that's what it was with Christ. That is what qualified him to be a mediator and an intercessor for us. That I might say, oh, you just don't understand. Jesus does, because he understood the power of the flesh, but he also, in his divinity, is able to reconcile us to God and take our case to the throne of God. So it is not uncommon, just because you're saved and this gap that was caused by sin has been bridged, there are other times that sometimes we just feel so desperate. It's like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I want you to know this morning that Jesus Christ is still bridging the gap. And this is what happened with that woman that had the issue of blood, remember? And she had suffered many things from many physicians and spent all that she had. Now, did Jesus reprove her for that? He didn't. You know, there are some people that, well, she should. Jesus didn't reprove her. I don't find that in the scripture, in the New Testament. Jesus didn't reprove her. But she was desperate. And when she heard about Jesus, she came to him, and in reaching out and touching Jesus, she was able to touch the throne of God. Because Jesus spanned the gap. He spanned the divide between her and the God of heaven, and she was made whole. There is still an answer this morning. There is still hope for those that don't know where to turn, and you feel lonely and you feel desolate and you don't know what the future holds and no one has the right words. But I will say this morning, and I found so much comfort in it, that Jesus Christ came to span that gap in our life, and he will bridge that gap between you and God this morning. So there is one God this morning, one mediator between God and men, and it is the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself for a ransom for all. That's out of 1 Timothy chapter 2. So this is the high priest that we have this morning. over in the book of Hebrews 4, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. In other words, don't be discouraged. Don't give up, because we have a great high priest who has spanned the gap. It's like, so hold on to your profession. Don't give up. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's able to minister to us and to help us. So as we close this morning, I'd like to share one other little story with you. Many years ago in the old, it was in the old West, that, and I looked this up after I read this story to be sure, and it is indeed the Mississippi River in certain areas, especially back in the early 1900s or late 1800s, it would freeze over in places. All right, it would freeze over solid. And there was a traveler in the early West that came up to the Mississippi River, and it was freezing cold out, and there was no bridge. And he needed to get to the other side. And there was ice across where he was, and he didn't know how thick it was, and he was afraid to trust it. So he got down on his hands and knees, and he started across that river. You know, just imagine yourself being in that place very carefully and very, very, with a lot of trepidation. He began to basically crawl across that river on that ice. And out of the darkness, it was dusk, I believe they said, and he heard someone singing. And he looked back behind him, and here came four horses pulling a wagon full of coal. That came taking those horses and that wagon across that river. You know, that man, I'm sure, wasn't crawling anymore. Someone knew it's thick here and it's safe. We say, how can I make it? We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses this morning that have made it. There have been people that have gone through so many difficult things and they stayed faithful. And when I hear their song, it lets me know, I can make it too, because Christ has bridged the gap. So if it feels like you might be in an impossible situation, or your loved ones are facing things you just don't know what, I want you to know that we can trust in Jesus Christ, and we too can make it. May God bless you all in Jesus' name.